Well, today we're continuing our series in Hebrews entitled Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. And our sermon, the title this morning is He is Faithful. And it focuses, as Nick read, on Hebrews chapter 3. And the book of Hebrews is written to encourage us and warn us. I said that a couple of weeks ago. And we're encouraged not to give up. And we're warned not to lose faith. We must not lose faith during the difficulties we face when we serve the Lord. But how can we be faithful? How can we help one another? Well, Hebrews 3 addresses these questions and their importance to us today. You'll notice that chapter 3 begins with the word therefore, which means that it's drawing a conclusion based on the things that have come previous. Now, Hebrews 2 explained that Jesus became a man so that he could save mankind. Phil took us through that last week. And because he became a man, he qualifies to be our high priest and our mediator. He suffered, so he knows the struggles and suffering we go through. As a result, he can emphasize with our weaknesses and help us. And he not only atoned for our sins, but he's also able to help us in our temptations. And boy, do we need help with those. We're so easily distracted from Jesus. Therefore, we must fix our eyes on him. We must focus on him. And we must keep our eyes on the destination and never look back. And it's the same for high wire performers, such as there's a Frenchman called Philippe Petit. Now, how do they keep themselves from falling? Well, they keep their eyes focused on the destination and they never look down. So in my preparations for this morning, I found myself compelled to watch parts of a film called The Walk. The film's based on the true and amazing story of this man, Philippe Petit. Now, this was no ordinary walk that he took. Now, some of you may know this, but back on August the 7th, 1974, Philippe walked across a high wire suspended from the top of the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers. He walked back and forth at the very top. All of that whilst the crowds below looked on in disbelief. After the event, Philippe was arrested before later being released. And in an interview afterwards, describing this incredible walk along that wire, a reporter asked him, "Well, how did you do it? How do you hold your nerve?" Philippe simply answered, "I just focus on my destination and I never look down." Now, Hebrews 3 tells us that it works that kind of way in the Christian life. If we're to keep from falling, then we must fix our eyes on Jesus. We are not to look down, as it were, but stay focused on him. And Peter learned this lesson the hard way, did he not? If you can recall, in Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33, the disciples were in a boat. They're in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And whilst they're on the water, they thought they saw a ghost walking towards them. Well, immediately Jesus told them to take courage because it is I, the Lord. And once they realized it was him, Peter got out of the boat and walked towards him. With his eyes fixed on Jesus, Peter walked across that water. But when he turned his focus, because he became frightened on the wind and the waves, what happened? He started to sink. And it's the same for us. If we get distracted, then we too will sink. So our opening point this morning is simple. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Look at those first four verses again with me. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Notice the first command here is fix our thoughts on Jesus. We need to fix our thoughts and our eyes on him. We need to concentrate on Jesus. Make sure that nothing distracts us. You'll notice too there, Jesus is called an apostle. The word apostle means the one who is sent, and Jesus was sent from God to us. And he came with that message of a great salvation. A message that we're told to pay careful attention to, that we saw back in chapter 2, the first four verses. And as we pay attention to the message, we must also pay attention to Jesus, because Jesus as the person is part of the message of God. His death has meaning for us because of who he is. He is the Son of God. You'll also notice that Jesus is referred to as our high priest. Now, Hebrews is the only book in the Bible that uses this title, as far as I'm aware, for Jesus. As an apostle, he speaks to humanity on behalf of God. And then as a high priest, he speaks to God on behalf of humanity. See, Jesus bridges that gap between us and God. And that's why we need to look to him. But what are we supposed to see in Jesus? Well, we find the answer there in verse 2. It tells us that Jesus was faithful. He was faithful to the one who appointed him. He was faithful, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. And we read back in Numbers 12, verse 7, that Moses was faithful in God's house. There was respect amongst the people for Moses. So the writer he builds on this. Now, Moses was a really faithful person, but compared to Jesus, we read in verse 3, Jesus is worthy of greater honor than Moses. There's no real comparison between the two. Nothing measures up to Jesus. Jesus, at the right hand of God, has more honor than Moses. Look there at verse 4 as well. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. We saw back in the opening passage of Hebrews that the Son is superior. Hebrews 1 verse 2, we're told that God made everything through his Son. This in itself gives Jesus more honor than Moses. Moses was faithful, but compared with Jesus, his faithfulness was greater. And that leads us to the second point this morning, that Christ is faithful. Look with me at verses 5 and 6. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as Son over God's house. And we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope which we boast. The writer further continues the contrast between Moses and Jesus. He now contrasts Moses as a faithful servant and Christ as a faithful son. Moses as a faithful servant testified to what would be said in the future. He faithfully said what God wanted him to say, but as a faithful servant. The best Moses could be was a faithful servant. And it's the same for all of us. However, Christ was faithful over God's house as a son. Jesus was in a class of his own. He was vastly superior to everyone around. Moses was faithful, but if you use him as an example of faithfulness, then sadly, you're looking at an inferior example. Before Jesus, yes, he was probably the best example of faithfulness available. But after the unveiling of Jesus, we must look to him as our only example. Because our lives center around and on Jesus. They don't center on Moses. Look at the encouragement given there at the end of verse 6. It says, we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. If we keep our faith in Christ, then it shows us that we are his house, his people. As followers of Jesus, we are God's house. And Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22, provides us with more details It reads, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Michael J. Kruger quotes, "In the church, Christ dwells. After all, we are his house. Not only does he live in individual Christians by the power of the Holy Spirit, but we are all being built together into a dwelling place for God. The Spirit of Christ lives in this, his corporate body, the church. As followers of Christ, as believers, we need to come together. Being part of the church is of paramount importance. It's where we grow. In our sinful world today, it's tempting to think that we don't need church. It's tempting to think or to believe that we can just show up when and where we like. Folks, church shopping is not a thing. We shouldn't just move from church to church. We are the people of God, and God dwells in our midst. This means that it is vitally important to be committed to one another and his people. The writer of Hebrews wants to encourage people not to leave God's house. He seeks to encourage them and us to be vigilant and diligent. And as a result, we must not harden our hearts, which leads to the third point this morning. Do not harden your hearts. Look at verses 7 through to 12 with me. "So, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Now, for those of you who are observant, or for those who can read footnotes, you'll notice that the verses 7 through to 11 there is a direct quote from Psalm 95. Like with everything in Scripture, this is a message from the Holy Spirit. It applies today in the same way it applies to those in the early church. So the question is, do we hear his voice today? Your answer should be yes, because he's still speaking in Scripture. So in that case, are you listening? Are we willing to do what he says? Many people were attracted to Moses and his influence on the people, but as the writer has told them, it's not good enough anymore. Someone better, Jesus, has come along, and we need to respond to him. You don't just keep on doing the same old things you've always done. That is still true. We can't just keep doing things that we've always done. Remember, it's about looking to Christ, not to traditions. We must never let our traditions become more important to us than Christ. We can't let them become so important that we don't hear him. We must listen to him when he says it's time for a change. When Israel was in the desert, they had to listen to what God was saying. They were tried and tested by God because they had to learn to trust him. And when Christ calls us to follow him, we need to follow. Wherever Christ goes, we must go with him. We have to learn to let him change us. Because if we don't, look what God says there in verses 10 and 11. "That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall not enter my rest." The Israelites had been graciously delivered out of the land of Egypt. They headed for the promised land, a land flowing of milk and honey. And if you can't picture a land flowing with milk and honey, then one of my Cornhill lectures, Andrew Satch, says, think of a land of sticky toffee pudding. Sadly, though, most of the people never got there. They didn't make it. They never made it to God's rest because they were hard-hearted. They were hard-hearted, rebellious, and filled with unbelief. Because they didn't listen, they were left wandering the desert for 40 years. They heard the words, but they didn't obey them. They refused God's word. With this story of Israel's rebellion as the backdrop, look what it says there, verse 12. See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Verse 12 is a warning against possessing an unbelieving heart. It's the second major warning which comes across in the book of Hebrews so far. The first warning was that one back in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, the warning against drifting away. And now we have this second warning presented here, which warns against turning away. Similar theme. In both instances, the warning refers to those who seem to be like believers, but later on, they prove to have unbelieving hearts. So the application is to make sure that you believe what you believe in your heart is sincere. It's how you can be faithful. It's how to avoid turning away from God. Examine your heart. Ensure you're focusing on Jesus and on Jesus alone. And with this warning kind of ringing in our ears, the writer now gives an encouragement. Look at verse 13. It provides us with a kind of a cure to drifting away from God. And it forms the basis of the fourth point this morning. Encourage one another daily. Look at verses 13 to 15. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. So how can we be faithful to Christ? How can we stay focused on him? Well, anything that takes our minds away from Jesus is deceitful. Anything that causes us to turn away is causing us to sin. Anything that makes us desire our own thoughts is wrong. We need to encourage one another to focus on Jesus and only Jesus. God puts us together in order that we can help one another. We're to encourage one another in our faith so that no one drifts away. You know, our priority shouldn't be on hymn choices or our worship or our traditions. Our priority should be Christ. We need to help each other remember that. Nobody should become tired of hearing about the one who died for us. Look at verse 14. It reminds us that we have to come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. Our faithfulness will show that we are now sharing in Christ. We must hold on firmly until the end and help others to do the same. And we do that by meeting together, by worshiping together. And we do that by fixing our thoughts on Jesus. You'll notice that verse 15 is a repeat of verses 7 and 8. As it has just been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Repetition is emphasis. Every day, some people harden their hearts to the voice of Christ. There is this, the change that Christ brings to people in their lives. The answer now, as it was then, is fix our thoughts and our eyes on Jesus. Because when we do this, we'll hear what he's saying, and then we can encourage one another. We'll encourage one another to persist in the faith. And that leads to the fifth and final point this morning. We must all have faith. Look there at verses 16 through to 19. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that we have not we are not able to enter because of their unbelief. The people who disobeyed here weren't allowed to enter the promised land. But why was this? Why weren't they allowed to enter? There in verse 19. Because of their unbelief. They refused to trust God. They refused to listen and follow. They failed to enter the rest because they did not believe. And despite being taken out of slavery, despite being led by Moses, despite experiencing the wonders and blessings of God, they failed. They failed because of their unbelief. They had no faith. And this kind of brings us full circle, right back to verse 12 again. Brings us back to the warning against having an evil, unbelieving heart. They lost the promises of God because of their unbelieving hearts. And they lost all the future blessings of rest because of their hardened hearts. This is the truth the writer is wanting to hit you right between the eyes with. Why did Israel fail in the desert and not enter the promised land? Because they did not believe in the Lord. They thought they believed, but they did not really believe. And unbelief is the source of disobedience. And every time there was a difficulty, an obstacle, a hardship, or a challenge, the people failed to trust God, which led to disobedience and rebellion. The book of Hebrews implies that the same thing could happen to us. We must have faith in Christ. We must trust in Him. If people don't focus on Christ, then they can drift away. They can drift away, turn away, and begin to trust in other things instead. So as we close this morning, what can we take away with this? Well, I want to ask you five questions for you to think about in closing. Each of these questions are relatable and are taken from the passage. These are the questions for you. Where are your eyes fixed? Are they on Jesus? Do you hold on to the hope Jesus provides? Have you heard His voice but hardened your heart? Do you encourage others daily in their faith? Do you have confidence in your faith in Christ? The message of Hebrews 3 is clear. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. He is superior. He is in control. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. If you hear His voice today, then don't harden your heart. Do not turn away from the living God with a sinful, unbelieving heart. Instead, take courage from those around you who know the Lord. Encourage one another daily in your walk with Christ. And have faith. Jesus should be the object of our faith. It is He who saves us. One last point this morning. Fix your thoughts on Jesus because He is faithful. Amen.